You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Let's talk about Spartan. We know it can be hard to get motivated and off the couch, but throwing a date on the calendar gives you something to look forward to so you can reach your fitness goals. Founded in 2010. Fix that. Founded in 2010 by CEO Joe DeSena in Vermont, Spartan is the world's...
Joey D!
Hey, Joey DeSena! ...is the world's largest obstacle race and endurance brand with 200 events around the world. Spartan provides you... This is wild what I'm reading here. Spartan provides you with an opportunity to push your body and mind as you hit the race course to battle obstacles like the barbed wire crawl, the spear throw, monkey bars... wall climbs of all shapes and sizes, just to name a few. And of course, Greg.
The rapping competition?
The rapping competition, emphasizing transformation through sport. Spartan offers signature race events for athletes of all skill levels, from beginner to elite. Start training now to challenge yourself or race with friends. If you're looking for encouragement, turn to the community of 5 million who've crossed the finish line at Spartan events across the globe. Terra Firma, spartan.com/around for an exclusive offer to find a race near you and view training and nutrition tips. That's spartan.com/around.
The Around the NFL podcast is in litigation over courtsofthunder.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Day two, show two from the owner meetings in Orlando. Oh, this is great. Anybody have anything to say?
Day four, really. I mean, I'm getting a little wistful here. This will be our last, you know, production that we tape here in Orlando. We've had a lot of people come through here. We're going to drop some interviews on Thursday's show that we taped here today. We got so much content.
How have you liked your time here in Orlando, Chris Wessling?
You know what? Talking to the coaches and the one GM that we spoke to, it was more fun. They are extremely nice guys. They are very football heavy in their interests in life. Maybe we could have gotten a few more, you know, outside interests, comments and thoughts from them.
Well, they might not have them if you're referring to some of the individuals I think you are.
Yeah,
it might be football. Might, that's one of the takeaways I've had. Football 24/7.
Yeah,
we have them for 10 minutes too.
Mark, at any point, jump into the show.
I'm just sort of I'm letting it all seep in.
I think
you know that you're on with us, right?
I am on. Yeah, it's okay. Funny because we're sitting in a room and there's six seats and I'm separated by two from the other three, and I do feel that way. But I've had a great week.
I think we are showing the effects of. You know, we've been doing this for a few days now. There's been some early mornings. There's been not super late nights, but, you know, later than we would be back at home.
Not cold town work, but also, you know, a bit of a grind. It's been grinders, like Gruden grinders a little bit.
I think we've been very tame on the party scene.
Yeah, it's been tame. I'm just saying, I think you're seeing some of the fatigue showing up.
We learned about each of these coaches. I mean, I love these coaches from a distance, but I don't really know any of them. And I think it's cool that we spent probably about 90 minutes plus with these guys.
Yeah, I now feel like I know everything about all these men. And like I can make total judgments about their character, and
we're much closer to that point.
It takes about 10 minutes.
We're much closer to be able to full judgment and being correct in our judgment.
I entered Central Florida.
Dolphins, sorry, you're not making the playoffs.
I entered Central Florida playing football checkers. I exit a chess master.
Wow.
All right, coming up on today's show. Oh yeah, you know him as the NFL Network insider. Ian Rappaport's joining us. Good stuff. Also. You're going to hear from Les Snead, the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, as well as his wife, Kara, former NFL Network employee and also now married. Did I say wife?
Yeah. Well,
married to Les.
It is the same thing, hanging out with him as his wife, also married.
Longtime anchor of NFL Total Access, was a reporter on NFL Network, you know, for people, for newbies.
Stud. And also, don't forget about... Oh, yeah, they call him the Raging Irishman, Dan Quinn. And he's like, I'm my own one-man bling ring, John Harbaugh. All right, let's get into it first, though. So stupid. Let's get into the news, though. And to do that, we will welcome in our first guest. Let's do it. Here he comes now. He was at the combine and did a nice job. So he said, grab him in the hallway, bring him back. He is the heartbeat of the news operation for NFL media. He's in that select group, that forever fraternity, the insider. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Rappaport, the rap sheet.
It's hard to take it seriously with this music going on. I mean, I know like that was a good intro and it was like drama and stuff, but it's really, I feel like it's just like the beginning of like a love scene or like a redemption scene in an 80s movie, you know?
Yeah. Greg likened it to like a Skinamax feature.
It really sounds like Yanni, like through the looking glass.
It's funny stuff. You mention it does sound like the MacGruber love scene, which is one of the most touching.
And just to make it clear to the shadowy league figures, it is not from MacGruber. It is from stock cleared music footage. I'm looking directly at a shadow with a finger. Hi, Mark.
Into the eyes of.
All right, Rap Sheet, you're the man with the news, and you started Monday morning with a bang here at the owners' meetings. You were on Good Morning Football, and you tweeted it out. Odell Beckham and the Giants, it's turning into what I would classify as a tense standoff. Rap Sheet reported Monday on GMF that Beckham will not play without a new long-term deal. Ian, I'm going to quote you from that program. He's not going to set foot on the field without a new contract agreed to, whether the Giants or whether anyone else.
Interesting.
Your thoughts. Expand, please.
Yeah, it's interesting. Expound. Because it really shouldn't be surprising, right? Like, we've known that. It feels like it's a big deal, and when I heard it yesterday, I sort of took it like a big deal. It should be obvious. Like, of course he's going to want a new deal. Of course he's gonna need security before he hits the field. You know, last year stayed away during most of OTAs, and it was kind of a thing. You know, was it contract? Was it not? Like, of course it was. But this does seem a little different, and I think what – like, my read on this is Odell's leverage. This is his only way to take control of the situation and try to, like, have some say. Like, and if, like, what the Giants did seems pretty clear. Like, they mentioned the words Odell and trade in the same sentence.
John Mara, their owner.
Their owner.
Here, this
in front
weekend.
Of cameras. Not, like, didn't pull anyone aside and whisper it. It was, like, on camera with the lights on the record. And whenever you use those words together, you're going to get trade speculation. And I'm sure he knew what it was going to be. And so... You know, that to me signals the Giants are at the very least open for business, open to listen. Mm. And, you know, Odell's sort of way to handle that is to say, well, if I'm going to get traded, I'm going to make sure I'm taken care of and I go to some place I want. And so that's his leverage, and that's kind of where we are.
You think they're trying to
Schefter.
You think they're trying to scare him a little bit? I mean, like, putting that out publicly. Putting that out publicly has to be a message at Odell on some level that, hey, well, you're tradable.
Yeah. Yes. And I asked the Giants person that, just basically, like, was this sending a message? And the response wasn't no. It was he knows where we come from anyway. Like, if he doesn't get the message by now, then, like, what are we doing? Hmm. Right? And so I think it's beyond, like, call him in, give him a talking to. It's beyond send him a message through the media. At some point, it's like, is this going to work or not? And I think that's kind of where they are. It's like, all right, are we going to go forward or say we had a great player and it didn't work out and he's ready to move on and so are we?
And John Maher also had a comment where he basically said, I'm tired of talking about Odell's behavior. And it was, you know, he came here and pulled no punches.
Well, good luck getting a contract done. He's going to want $20 million, be the highest paid receiver in the league, which makes sense considering what he's produced. But he's coming off of an injury and has all this stuff that the Giants aren't that happy for. Like, what are the odds they even could possibly come to an agreement?
It reminds me a lot of the last time there was a super talented, mercurial wide receiver that was entering the final year of his deal. You go back to the year 2000, yeah. The Jets and Keyshawn Johnson had a standoff that was very similar. They almost get a deal done. It falls apart. And then the Jets trade Keyshawn to the Bucks for 2 first-round picks, which I don't think would happen today.
Odell also
is a way better player than Keyshawn was, but Keyshawn was viewed as one of the top wide receivers in the league at that time. I'm wondering, I know this is, you know, you get excited. It's like, oh, Odell could be traded, but it doesn't seem crazy to me if they could get back something big, but we don't think it could be a bounty like that 18 years
ago. So what about Browns? Come on, Cleveland.
So but then he'd have to want to go there, and he'd have to want to say, like,
I'm Jarvis Landry's there.
That's true.
Yeah. There's also a lot that's not there, though.
Right. There's not a long-term quarterback there, and you can say they're going to draft a quarterback 1 or 4 probably, but you don't know who that is, and you know, Odell, I think his reputation is worse than he actually is. Like, he doesn't seem like a guy who whines all the time about getting the football. Like, I think that's, at this point, everything he does is magnified so much that I don't think he's really like this. However, putting him on the field with a rookie quarterback who's never played, like, that's, you know, that's a gamble for him. Would he even do that? And then it's like, let's say you're the Giants. You're not going to get 2 ones. But what would you be willing to take that would make it worth it to trade away a, like, generational talent at receiver? Like, what would actually make you say, all right, we're okay doing this?
2 ones or a top 5 pick, because Odell Beckham's the best receiver.
Depends on your frustration level with the guy who's the most talented player every time he steps on the field. And, you know, judging from beat writers over the past 4 years, what the Giants have said, what their coaches have said, this guy has to cause ear-splitting headaches almost every week, it seems like.
Yeah, it's been, like, kind of fascinating because he's definitely not a bad guy.
He's different.
He's just different, right. It's never been, like, you know, I mean, he had the dog celebration thing, which was, I think, generally annoying but not necessarily bad or mean-spirited. Like, you sort of had to be in on the joke, and I don't think everybody was.
So Planet Odell was in on, like, the kicking net joke. That was a big hit on Planet Odell.
That became highly tedious very fast.
But at least he embraced his, like, the ridiculousness
but
of
no
it.
No one's questioned his competitiveness.
Not at all.
His work
he
ethic.
Never.
So,
it's never like.
So get over it. You have a Hall of Fame player that you just drafted. Make it work.
I used to say that too, but it is possible that these guys are so annoying to everyone that they come into contact with that you just can't take it anymore.
Well, let's track this. We're going to continue to track the Beckham because it is kind of a fascinating subplot around the Giants. And speaking of the Giants, they made a big trade. One of the top players on their defense in recent years, Jason Pierre-Paul, JPP, was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a 3rd-round pick in 2018, number 69 overall. Nice, Wes. And the 4th-round pick, number 108, a 4th-round pick, goes back to Tampa as well. Ian, I'll start with you on this one, too. Was this something that was surprising around the league, or was it known that JPP might be on the block?
It was known that the Bucs were looking for a pass rusher. Like, at one point, I thought they were – I can't remember what day it was, the combine, but, like, I thought they were going to trade for Robert Quinn, and then it ended up being the Dolphins the next day. But I kept hearing that a Bucs deal was going to happen, and so I thought they were real close. And so then, you know, they – They end up signing Vinnie Curry, but they're still kind of snooping, sniffing around on a pass rusher. And this is one where, like, it's a big deal, and when it happens, like, whoa. But it actually makes a lot of sense. Not great scheme fit. You know, it makes a lot of money. He's not maybe quite what he was, although he's still really good. But I could see the value not making sense. It's just from the Giants' standpoint, like, you know, a third-round pick is good. Like, that's like, a legitimate getting something back. But you're paying all the money this year also.
$15 million in dead money on New York salary cap. Clears $2.5 million this season on the
You're saving cash. And if you're the Bucks, like, that, this is a move that an organization makes when the guys are worried about getting fired, I think. I mean, and which makes sense. That Jason Light's been there. Dirk Cutter, you know, barely survived, last year. And you signed Vinnie Curry. They have to win this year, and they sort of know it. And I think it's a good move for them, actually. They get that's been one of the worst positions in football for so long, and they get two pretty good starters.
I don't understand how it's been so bad. Like, they have talent. Last year, they had one of the best defensive line coaches in the NFL who they ended up firing after a year. You know, and it's just, I mean, it's been surprising how they've struggled to make that work, and the whole defense struggled in general.
It feels like someone on their defensive line, they just take turns getting injured every week. They're never healthy.
Right.
And their linebackers last year, too. Quan Alexander was out for a while, and Beckwith was out. But they've got my attention now with this
front
seven.
Their lineup is intriguing. I mean, they spent last offseason focusing on offense, adding players all on that side of the ball, and now they're doing on defense. But you're right, Greg, if it doesn't work, I mean, it's surprising to a lot of people that the coach is there this year.
Whenever a team sucks being on Hard Knocks, it's hard for me to get in on them the next year.
You didn't
year.
Think they were good on Hard Knocks?
No, I thought they were great, and I thought they were promising.
It sucks after being – I thought you meant actually – because I thought that was a pretty good Hard Knocks.
Oh, yeah, no. I went after that season finale, I was like, oh, 19-0, no problem.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out that way, and in fact, quite the opposite. They were a dreadful team, but we'll see what happens with the improved team.
The last two games, James was healthy. They had no players, and they looked pretty good.
It's funny how those week 17 or the last couple weeks end up making such a difference. I think it helped, as we heard from Adam Gase. I think it helped from Andy Reid. I think it helped the Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith trade happen the way that Mahomes played week 17. And I think that Bucks win, because I've heard this from a few different people talking in Tampa, the fact that they beat New Orleans in a game that New Orleans had to win in a really exciting game. Yeah. Like, I think it changed this season for the Bucks.
Maybe I just wonder if Bengals, too.
Is that
Bengals
a good thing, though, to focus
Probably
your decision
not.
On
Probably
one
not.
Out of 17 games?
Probably
well,
not.
Look at Tony Khan was in here yesterday.
I was just going to say this.
And the Jaguars, you know, in 2016, that December, their defense was phenomenal. So you could see signs. Then again, I remember when Jamarcus Russell closed out the year with a fantastic stretch in December, and he was terrible the next year. So
we'll hear
December
from
December doesn't, you know, you never know.
Hans has already moved on.
We'll hear from
Hans is like, can you just wrap it out? Like, we're done talking about
No,
Jamarcus
it was good.
Russell.
All good points. I just want to point out Tony Khan will be on the show a little later today. Next up in the news, Ndamukong Suh, still without a job. As of taping here on a Monday morning, but it's looking closer to a gig with the Rams. The New York Jets popped up heading into the weekend with the report that they had offered the most money, but then it was announced by the Jets, or Christopher Johnson, the team's CEO, talked to Mike Maccagnan, and they decided to rescind the deal. So now, Wes, it looks like Sue is back in it, and Ian, on your... you reported on Twitter that they are indeed the front runner. He hasn't ruled the Titans or Saints out, but those close to him are still open-minded. What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Bro.
There you go.
Who are your sources?
Sue is a different dude. And so I think people are very careful to be like, he hasn't made up his mind. Like, yeah, he's leaning this way, and it looks like it could happen, but... You know, something could strike. It's just, he's just different. And the fact that he's taken so long to make his decision, I think he's probably driving everyone a little crazy. But it does feel like it's going to be the Rams. I mean, I think their offer was good enough. Not the highest, from what I understand, but good enough. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of money regardless. I mean, it really is going to be a lot of money. And I think for them, you know, that's a really good defensive line anyway. And it's going to be really, really good.
You think it's going to be like a long-term thing, or it's just a one-year, you know, more like a one-year and we see?
My guess is it's probably like a three-year. Mm-hmm. We're like guaranteed money into the second year. I mean, he's 31. I can't believe we're spending this much time on a 31-year-old defensive tackle with no sacks, but he did play well last year. So, I don't know. I did not foresee this Sue prolonged saga like this. But
were Mike Maccagnan and Chris Johnson, CJ2K, that's what yes. we like to call
them. Y2K.
Yeah. Or were they just simply not on the same page here? It sounds like he swooped in and said, no, you're not offering this money.
No, I think it was more like they weren't going to get him. You know, I think it was, and I sort of heard this, like the Jets thing came out, Sue actually said it a couple days ago, but I think it was by that point basically dead anyway. Like they, you know, did they make an official offer? Like, I don't know if it really ever got to that point, but they were definitely interested. Bowles definitely talked to him. It was just like, he's not going to choose him. This is,
yeah, it was, Sue's camp was like, how can we use this to get more money from the Rams?
Possible.
yeah,
another quick question. Do you have female groupies being as powerful as you are?
Interesting question.
I would say my wheelhouse of groupies
might not make the final edit of the show, but interesting question.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say definitely older women.
grandmothers.
I'm big in here's sort of my
they're into insiders?
Here's sort of my people. It's older women, big in that demographic. I would say TSA agents, really big there.
Wow.
sort of people who deal with rental cars, I'm huge in that community. These are sort of like my. These are sort of like my people. Yeah.
There you go. Are you pleased with the answer, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it just
very strange man.
It was a curiosity.
Me or him?
Both very strange guys. Les Snead, by the way, coming up a little later on the show, so we'll ask him about the Sue situation. All right, a little free agent roundup. We mentioned the Jets. Terrell Pryor agrees to a deal with Gang Green. Wes, I know you like Pryor as a player, and you think he just needs a fresh start after a lost season in Washington. Now just needs somebody competent throwing him the ball there.
Yeah, this wasn't my favorite match for player and team, but the Jets, to me, got a talented receiver, and whoever is their next quarterback, I guess Josh McCown will be throwing to him. That's a nice receiver core if Robbie Anderson stays out of trouble. With Jermaine Kearse, had a pretty good year last year.
It's got to be tough for Wes to watch one of his favorite quarterbacks and favorite wide receivers throwing the ball to each other on the Jets. He might have to change his opinion.
Really enjoy it.
I wouldn't say Josh McCown is one of my favorite quarterbacks.
Come on.
The Dolphins continue to make interesting moves. Frank Gore, the 35-year-old running back, signs a one-year contract with the Dolphins.
Minimum.
Rap sheet. The minimum deal.
Minimum deal.
And Brock Osweiler, who he's got to be approaching NFL record territory for how many teams he's been on in – you know, X amount of time. What are we up to? Is it four teams in 18 months?
Four in a year. Four in, yeah, it's a pretty year plus. Yeah.
How about that?
Your minimum deal also.
A minimum deal for Frank Gore, I guess.
And Brock.
Is it just no guarantees that he'll be on the team, but Frank Gore gets a shot to continue his career?
I think, from what I understand, Frank Gore was like, I want to be here. What will you give me? Okay, fine, let's just do it. Like
nothing. Okay. Not,
right. I mean, and like, that's home. You know, I think they could be good. I think they're going to be good. Probably like they were 2 years ago. You know, we'll see what they do in the draft, but I think they're going to be good. And so he was like, let's just make it work here. And I'm sure his agent kind of was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, because you could have kept him longer, could have kept him out last year. Like Adrian Peterson had been discussing it draft week. You know, is he going to get $2 million or $3 million? But I think Frank was just like, let's just do this. Like, find me a job. Let's go, you know.
Allen Hurns signs a two-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Rap sheet has a 2 years worth $12 million. Does this affect, Greg, in your opinion, the Dez Bryant situation at all?
No. I think all the contracts that came in this year kind of helped Dez Bryant. When Paul Richardson is making $18 million, $20 million guaranteed, and Marquise Lee is making $8 or $9 million, suddenly Dez is $12.5 million this year. Didn't look that bad. And Allen Hurns is a secondary receiver.
Right.
And Dez is making, what, $12.5 million?
16 cap number, though.
Cap number, but that's ultimately the cash that they're paying out. Like, they need someone else. Allen Hurns isn't a bad guy to take a shot
benched? Who gets benched with Dallas? Where does he play? I just don't see the fit.
Terrence Williams?
No.
They just paid him, what, yeah, two off seasons ago?
And his salary is guaranteed. My guess is Cole Beasley ends up being the odd man out there.
Interesting, because he had a really good year in 2016, but didn't do anything last year.
Like, I'd I'd be curious if they talked about possibly dealing him around draft time. Like, I feel like that will be a sort of buzzy name where they drafted his replacement, probably make some money, slot guy. Like, I could see that being discussed.
Tremont Williams also returns to the Packers on a 2-year, $10 million deal after a short, forgettable stint in Cleveland. That's what's happening with the free agent roundups. And then finally, Bennett brother news, and there's a lot of it. And oddly, it broke on the same day. Two very different stories.
Oddly or?
you think Martellus Bennett was trying to change the story?
Well, let's get to the stories. We'll start with Michael Bennett, who was indicted on a felony charge in Texas. And this dates back to moments after the alleged incident, moments after the Patriots and Michael's brother Marty won Super Bowl 51 over the Eagles. The Harris County District Attorney's Office accuses Bennett of injuring a 66-year-old paraplegic woman who was working to control access to the field during the game. Prosecutors claim Bennett injured the victim after he pushed his way onto the field after being told to use another entrance for field access. Let's start here.
Isn't the upset of this that Hanses didn't get this on video? I feel like that's sort of like
That would have been my scoop. But I was busy, as you recall, at that Super Bowl breaking big news as right. the ATN insider. But why is this? Why did this take so long to become a case? That's my first takeaway from it was.
I mean, there is a... I don't know if this is true or not, if he's guilty or not. I know he was indicted, but I don't know if he's guilty or not. That said, there are a lot of legitimate questions about this. Just logistically, like, you know, you make a big deal of it, NFL player gets indicted, but you spend 13 months trying to get here. Like, I'm sure there are other priorities, but stuff must have been really important. There's no video.
There's a lot like, about it, including they quickly sort of changed the word or made clear with the wording that he actually never pushed the woman. And they sort of tried to pin down and the sheriff's comment. Everything about it is very questionable, but it'll play out. And it's one of those things.
Or how about this?
Kind of like the Darrelle Revis news a year ago where I feel like it made a splash and then eventually it just wasn't a story anymore. And
except
he was found not guilty.
He was indicted and.
Right.
We'll be but like, how about this? When it happens, you know, the paraplegic person is injured. There's no commotion. Not saying the person wasn't injured. I'm just saying, like, you call an ambulance when someone is paralyzed and injured.
I mean, in general, on the field after a Super Bowl, there's a lot of commotion anyway. Who knows?
I don't know.
It's a strange case. And
Howie Roseman's going to talk today, and I'm very curious what he ends up saying about this.
Yeah, and Marty Bennett, on the same day this comes out, announced that he was retiring to take on like a full-time role in... I'm always a little confused what he's doing. He's the founder of the Imagination Agency. I think it's something to do with animation and children. But Marty Bennett ends his career after 10 seasons, bounced around a lot, and a disappointing final season where he thought he was catching a ton of passes with Aaron Rodgers. Goes to the Patriots, and that doesn't work out, and he had an ugly exit from Green Bay. But a nice career mark as a really talented pass-catching tight end.
And a more intriguing personality than maybe even a good player. I mean, but we talked about him on the last episode, that he kind of broke out with the New York Giants after starting relatively slow in Dallas. And I think, you know, I've taken a little bit of a look at some of this animation stuff that he's up to, and he's legitimately talented. So we'll see.
Books,
yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Is he the animator? I really got to dig in on this. I'm not plugged in.
I will go to Ian for the further details on
Ian,
that.
The source on this.
My favorite thing about Martellus Bennett is you never quite know what in the world is actually going on. So when he puts out this statement, I get an email from our desk being like, "Hey, you know, we think he's retiring. Can you confirm?" And I'm like, "Okay, like I'll just double check." Reach out to his agent. And he says, "I don't know, man."
So is that the real report?
Because he was on the Bills.
No, like Pelissero emailed him, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm retiring." I'm like, "Okay, well, then it's good." But the agent was like, "I don't know, I hadn't heard." I'm like, "Well, he put out a statement, I think. Like, I'm pretty sure it's retirement, but you're never quite sure."
Could it be like, "I don't want to do training camp, but I will sign with someone on August 28th or something"?
I think when he goes, he'll, I don't know where he's going to go, but it's going to be someplace. I'm sure he will be unreachable in someplace weird in August.
He was on the Bill Simmons podcast last week, and it was a really interesting episode. It was the two brothers together, and he was talking about football in a way you would have never thought that he was going to retire that week.
I'm not sold yet.
Nor am I.
Let's see what happens.
I always will think of him as a guy that could have and almost caught the game-winning touchdown in what would have been the greatest play in Patriots history, maybe, from Tom Brady. He talked about how him and Tom talk about that all the time, that Tom Brady really regrets not putting the ball up a little higher.
What are we referring to?
The play that would have won the Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons. They called pass interference. It set up the James White touchdown, but he just the play before.
Wait, so you're wistful and you feel bad?
They're wistful.
That you didn't get a chance to experience.
I'm not. He
the game winning touchdown play before the game winning touchdown.
No,
play?
But if you were
what a life. Yeah. What a life!
Another sliding doors example for a tough luck franchise.
I couldn't care less. But imagine if you were Tom Brady or Martellus Bennett. Wouldn't that just be? Of course, it was great.
Marty Bennett
think
for
about
sure.
That.
Yeah, Tom right. Brady's not going to have enough highlights on his Hall of Fame video.
All right, Rapshi, you got to get back in the lobby. You're moving and shaking.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the money time.
Got a lot of people to stalk.
Yeah, it's getting busy
exactly.
out there.
So thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And, God, you're in that fraternity, bro. And once you're in that fraternity, you're in there for life.
All those Hertz agents love you, don't
elderly ladies, Hertz agents.
Alma.
TSA Dollars.
Ian Rappaport, follow him at Rap Sheet. I know you already do.
National.
All right, there goes Ian. Off to break some news. But we keep going. And, yes, we just talked about Ndamukong Suh and what's going on. So what great timing that we now get to speak with the general manager of the team that everyone is connecting the big defensive tackle to. Let's throw it to that conversation. All right. This is different. This is special. Now joining us in Suite 105, he's the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, the surging Rams, Les Snead, and with him, his lovely and talented wife, Kara Henderson Snead. Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Thank you, guys. I can't believe this is the first time that I've been on here with you guys. I've admired you for so long.
It's been great, like, working with Kara, and now seeing Kara at league events that we bumped into you at the Rams playoff game, had a great conversation, and now Les and the Rams are like one of the big teams in LA, and it happened really quick, Les.
So I ask you this: you use the word surging big. How come when you introduced her, she got music? You know, it was like Rick Flair coming out.
It was the music was for
no,
a tag team.
Actually, Les' suspicions were correct. That was.
I think that was my produced walk-up song.
Yes. I requested
entrance music.
That's like the first couple of Los Angeles football music.
Ooh.
How do you like that? Do you like to be known as that? Can we start that?
I'm going to go with the Aqib Talib line, and you know I don't do nicknames. That's for you guys.
All right. Very good. Hey, while we're here, we have a bunch of stuff to get to, but there is some news. We had Rap Sheet on the show earlier today. And we were talking about Ndamukong Suh and how the Jets very publicly rescinded their contract offer. Everyone's saying, looks like it's the Rams. Can you give us anything? Confirm it.
What I did do is tell Ian to let me know when he finds out. So that's what I can confirm.
And
I was just getting a text, so it could have been Ian, and he might have found something out. But
feel free to check it. I mean, if you want to do some breaking news of finding out Sue signed on the podcast, that'd be fantastic.
It's probably best not to. But yeah, on that situation.
Do you want me to check it, and then I can break it, and it's just like old days?
Here we go.
I think it's a great idea.
Here we go.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, Ndamukong Suh, a different type of guy. I know you're in the midst of potentially working things out with him. Like, what's it like been talking to Ndamukong Suh? Like, and talking about a potential deal and all that. Can you give us some insight?
What's always a fun thing about getting to know a player is you bring him in and hey, we play footballs. It's what can we do as a team to help you accentuate your skills, and what can he do to help us? So it's always fun to bring someone like him in and say, okay, with Wade Phillips, a 3-4 defense, he's always played in a 4-3. Hey, and let Wade and his staff explain to him, hey, this is how we're going to use you in base, in nickel, and in some of the situations when you get in the nickel or the when you're rushing the passer, what you might be able to do with him partnering with Aaron Donald. So those are the fun things to talk about, football and culture, and do we provide what he's looking for, and does he provide what we're looking for?
Did you go out to eat? You go out to eat at all while you're there?
We did go out to eat.
I'll give you the good story. That was a great GM answer. And you guys are like, okay,
it is about football.
This is why Kara gets the music,
right? And so, and it is about football. I mean, you go through all of this, and you can get involved in this and that, and then at the end of the day, you're like, okay, but what is he going to do on the field with Aaron Donald, and how does he help our team? But we went out. We had done an event together, and then we stopped at the dinner when he came into town with his girlfriend, who is so cool, by the way. She's like 6'2". She played basketball. Whoa. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I spent my night talking to her, but we had Ndamukong, we had Stan Kroenke, Josh Kroenke, Kevin Demoff. So we had, you know, Sean McVay. We had the whole group assembled at Nobu, you were asking, in Malibu, which, I mean, if you're going to take somebody and
you're not messing around,
show them L.A., yeah, like, yeah, that's where you're going to do it. So Les and I walk in the front door.
It's about football.
Les and I walk in the front door, but we're still recruiting at this point, and we walk in the front door, and there's James Corden. Like, literally, like, we bump into him at the front door, and Les says, hey, good to see you again, because he had done a skit where he was an L.A. Rams cheerleader at one of our games, and quickly became clear to us that he doesn't know that much about football and doesn't. So we're sitting here trying to wait, do we bring him back to meet Ndamukong Suh or not, or he's even going to understand?
This is very LA.
He didn't. So we just let him go on and have his dinner, and then you pass by a table and there's David Spade and Chris Rock, and you're like, oh my gosh, like this is
perfect
LA fever dream if you're going to parade, you know, Ndamukong Suh through
there. I
thought
the story was going to end with you guys doing carpool karaoke with Sue in the front seat and you guys in.
You know
back.
What? That would have actually been. See, we needed you
he
there.
He would have
for
signed by
ideas.
Now.
Yes, he probably would have liked it. But it was a really fun dinner, and you know, you could really see, and you, anybody who follows Ndamukong Suh has seen, you know, him with Buffett, and you know how he's interested. So he and Stan were really getting into some, you know, some deep conversations, and that's the kind of guy that he is. And the great moment, and I'm gonna give a little bit of thing away. The great moment of the night
Les
was
just
when,
waiting for this.
No, he knows what I'm going to say. Yes. The great moment of the night is Stan pulls his chair over right next to Ndamukong and he goes, okay, now I'm going to play the part of Indomitian's agent, and I'm going to ask some tough questions. So then he started peppering questions to Sean to answer for Ndamukong, and it was hilarious. Ooh. And it was fun, and it was, you know, it was a great night. But it, you know, he's a really, really interesting guy who has a lot of broad interests, and obviously very analytical as we sit here on day number what of the Ndamukong.
Quit counting. Yeah. Quit counting.
I spoke to his mom for a Mother's Day piece, and she informed me that he was like a killer Lego talent as a kid. So if that helps with your scouting at all. Was a pure talent at the building, even at a young age. So
I'm trying to think how that relates.
I saw a great like left turn humble brag by Mark. I was talking to Sue's mother. He's like, that's pretty good.
Part of the job.
Well, he was also obviously a big soccer guy. I mean, we all remember when he, I think it was at the game when he missed the extra point, when he had to kick the extra point, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So he, you know, he and Stan obviously could bond on that, too. He's a big Arsenal fan.
I'm just impressed Stan Kroenke can do improv.
See, that's what you guys don't understand. Stan really is good hilarious. At that. And he is, when you get him in a situation like that, like, he's a fun, dynamic person to talk to.
I feel like if he signs, it'll be because of all those celebrities that were. That's at least how I'll put it there. I mean, that's L.A. coming through for you. Like, when I was, like, 22 years
maybe
old, a friend visited me in L.A.
Well.
He's like, and he was like, can you bring me somewhere maybe a celebrity would be? And we went to the newsroom, and Jennifer Love Hewitt was at the table next door. And, like, I was a hero for life right there. And I think that's the same thing that's going to happen to you.
Very interesting. I like that.
Well, so is he waiting for more celebrities? Like, so
no,
like,
you know,
we're
22.
Like,
that was it. That was the most exciting.
What about Les with the team? And I respect it because there's a lot of GMs. Like, you guys really had a nice season last year, got to the playoffs, didn't work out against the Falcons. But it seems like you have this great core in place. Some front offices might kind of sit tight, but you have went the route of making changes, making big decisions on players. Coming out of that season, did you still see the team as very much a work in progress, and that's why we've seen so much action in free agency?
Excellent question. I think it's a complicated answer, but no doubt last year was fulfilling. And the fulfilling part of that's, hey, 11 wins, NFC West champions. But I think after successful seasons, you really, to move forward, you need to take a step back and go, okay, why did we lose five? Why didn't we host a playoff game? Why didn't we get a bye? How can we make sure that we repeat as division champs, not just rest on your laurels? And those are, you got to be very critical. You need to take some time and get away and get the emotions out of it and sit back. How do we get better? And one of the reasons, I think coming into the 17 season, we said goal number one was find the right head football coach. I think we got that done, right? Goal number two, fix the offense. The offense has been our Achilles heel. So obviously think we got that done. Pretty didn't good. Plan for it to go from 1 to 32 to 1 or whatever. But we always knew, right, hey, let's don't forget about the defense. Let's don't forget about the special teams. But I think coming into this year, if you bolt it down to one goal is let's make sure that our defense keeps up with our offense. Because our offense is young and our defense – there were some aging parts and there was also some parts that weren't the best fits for Wade's scheme, and he's in charge over there. He's proven to be very good, and if we can get that defense up to his speed, then we got a really good chance to do some of those other goals.
Last year there was a lot of talk about Sean McVay being in Jared Goff's ear with 30 seconds on the clock and then talking him up to the line of scrimmage. On one hand, we think, okay, that's kind of new and this is part of the reason behind Goff's success. On the other hand, coordinators have been doing this for a while. How much of this was revolutionary and how much of it is just typical NFL quarterback?
Well, I think you're right. You have up until 15 seconds to talk to your QB. That's why they put the QB to coach system in the helmets to do that. So I think it's nothing that's revolutionary, but I like anything, there's 32 different head coaches, 32 different offensive coordinators, and how they utilize their time with the QB before the snap is probably where the differences, occur, where edges are gained or not. And really, really good coaches take advantage of that.
You mentioned there were some guys maybe not great fits. Was that the decision with trading Alec Ogletree? Because you had just given him an extension. I know he was, very highly thought of as a leader. That was probably the one that I think probably surprised Rams fans the most.
Yeah, it was that one. I can say this, great leader, great human. We re-signed him because he was one of our best football players. But when we sat back and really analyzed, talked about, discussed, what makes Wade's defense go is the corner position. And interestingly, we did the Marcus Peters trade before we did the Aqib Turtle Talib trade, but once Aqib became available, how do you fit him within the parameters of your salary cap with other things like Aaron Donald extension and things like that coming down the line? Sometimes you have to make sacrifices to get gains, and that's how that occurred. As we set out this offseason, we said, look, we need to solidify the corner position, whether that's bring back Tremaine Johnson, because we got some young players we like, but there's some injuries there, whether that's drafting someone. But we knew we need to solidify that position, and then once we came up with that vision, that goal, we attacked the offseason, and then every now and then there's some adjustments you make halfway.
The NFC West is kind of interesting right now because, to me anyway, and we've talked about a lot about it on the show, it seems to be in transition, and the Rams surging. I just like that word. I like connecting surging to your organization. That's cool, right?
That's a good verb.
Yeah.
Is that a verb? Surging? No, that's an adjective. I'm not. You're Duke. Tell me what the heck surging is.
Is that a transitive verb? I've got this bubble over my head trying to figure it out.
I wasn't going to bring up Duke today, by the way, Kara. But now, man. Since your husband did.
Thanks.
It did Les. Come up.
Can we bring up Auburn, too? Because at least.
Well, you went to a better school than all of us.
But here's what's in my office, right? It's I got a nice frame, and it's a Duke diploma. Or degree, that would be, and people always go, oh, you went to Duke, and I go, no, always read the fine print. it's got her name on it.
So the Seahawks, we got so used to them being the powerhouse in the West, and they're a team in transition. The Cardinals, it's hard to make sense of where the Cardinals are right now as a team. But then there's the 49ers, who, if I were a betting man, and I'm not because I work for NFL media, and
can't be
prohibited.
Good catch.
That feels like the new rivalry on the rise in your division. How about that? A little Rams-Niners for the next 6 to 7 years.
It's interesting that anybody in your division is always a rivalry, so I'm not going to single out as much fun as this would be those guys, because, yes, what I can say that I respect about what Kyle, John, that organization's done is, hey, they've attacked, you know, their offseason. They've tried to get better. They're trying to come, you know, take the division crown. But on the other hand, yes, the Seahawks may be in some sort of transition, as every NFL team is, but they still have what makes them go, and that's Russell Wilson. At the end of the day, that guy makes them go. That's been their heart and soul. And their defense has been their heart and soul, but Russell's a tough out, and they still have him, and as long as he's there, they're in it. They got a chance. And I think that, you know, what I really respect about the Cardinals is they hired a really good, I think, head football coach that's going to have to replace. That's big footsteps to go in and replace Coach Arians and his staff. But I think, you know, like any team, they're fighting. They're going to try to contend.
There will be some rivalry elements, though. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun when you poke Sean about it, because he and Kyle are like brothers.
Mm. Yeah.
And they are very competitive with each other, and it's hilarious when
I get
you start
them confused, actually. So it's good that it's a little more because now they're
you mean
rivals,
just when you see them?
They're just like, is that the same guy? No, that's Kyle. No, that's him. Yeah.
They don't look anything alike.
I know. Well, this is on
Dan's working on it. We saw you at the playoff game when Chris and Dan and I were there, and I know the
and
result.
And I was pacing because it was a tough moment.
The thing I would say, though, because you know you came from NFL Network, but you seem to be having the time of your life watching, because when you guys linked up, the Rams were not a surging team in the same way. You guys were growing, surging. And so I'm wondering.
Y'all never used the word growing.
Okay, you were a work in progress, but I would wonder for you, what is it like to go to suddenly be linked to one team where your Sundays are so much about it, and to not be viewing it as a broadcaster?
How long do we have?
However much you want.
No, there's a
Kara didn't use the word work in progress.
It's
either.
It's interesting. I think in one way it was like I went to graduate school to then be married to a general manager. Sometimes I'm sure he wish I didn't know as much, because I go home and ask, you know, all the tough questions that
Another
you
press
guys
conference.
He has a press conference and he better tell me the truth. So I always tell people it's like the iceberg effect, when you know there's only 10% above water. That's what I found out going from reporter to being on the inside. Is before I was like, oh yeah, I've got this, I know everything, and I'm gonna report everything I know, and I'm like, I didn't know anything, and I was still reporting everything I know. Now I know everything and I can't tell anybody anything. But I love being a fly on the wall for, you know, we were in Hawaii when the Marcus Peters trade went down, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, you know, what's going on? What are we doing? Who's, you know? And so I get to now live it. And you were saying I was having the time of my life. It's awful.
I mean, it is actually awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm pacing. Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's one thing to have all your adrenaline before and after a game when you're covering it, but when it's in it and you have zero control over the outcome and it's your whole life, it is so difficult. We're at the owners meetings. They just had this amazing panel with you know, some of the women who were the founding mothers, owners of the NFL, and you got the sense there, you're sitting there watching it and you're like, wow, they showed their timeline, and you're like, I'm in the middle of this timeline when you're just literally in it to win it. And like, It as much as it's like the most painful thing you can go through, you know, like this is the time of your life you're going to look back on. And this is the time where, you know, and now when you start winning and you've been through the lean years, gosh, it means so much. And, you know, when you've been through so many losses, you know, you really, you know, bond with the people you go through this with. And it'll be that way for the rest of your life. So it's a pretty poignant thing.
You better be taking notes for that book you're going to write in a few years.
You know, I have a book in mind, and it'll be a good one. It's called Fathered by Football, and it's about all the coaches. And Les didn't grow up with a dad in his life, and really the football raised him, and the coaches raised him. And when you go through all the different coaches and you know what they taught him about being a man. And, you know, living your life well, like, that's what football can do. I mean, I know football can take some hits, but when you see firsthand in your life what it can do for someone, like, you can take the opposite position as well.
Love that book. I would read it. Follow-up book, All the Secrets I Know.
Yeah. The 90% of the iceberg.
I at one point thought I was going to write a book called I've Seen Tom Brady Naked, but, you know, I think that would sell.
That's probably the best. If you want to sell it, that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, you know, I don't know that that's going to be the one. Before, I think fathered by football might be better.
Les, I know you're very busy, so we got to let you guys go. And Carrie, I know you're busy as well.
I'm really not.
Are you guys going to go work out again to get today together? Is there any rivalry there, by the way?
6:45 a.m.
We saw you guys going to the gym very early in the morning.
What we didn't tell you is we actually never made it to the gym, but because we ran into Sean. And Sean had just come from the gym, so we actually got the shine off of Sean having worked out, and we were in workout clothes, right?
And the secret to me, if I have not worked out in the morning, the day just gets awfuler and awfuler and awfuler. And
yeah,
at some point, that's why I
was. So this interview is like that third awful right now.
And that's why I was trying to look at the afternoon session and go, okay, what can I skip to steal that workout?
Got to sneak out, yeah.
All right, before we let you guys go, it is the Crucible portion of this interview. It is 8 o'clock delight, our speed round. You ready?
You know what Crucible is, right?
I can figure it out.
Yeah.
It's hard. Here
we
go.
It's the tough thing.
Hit it. Netflix and chill or dinner and a movie?
Netflix and chill.
Favorite hip hop artist? Either of you, Charlie. Or both.
Yeah. Who's supposed to go here?
Well, you can go. I'd love to hear it. Yeah, hip hop artist.
This is real. Is Jay Z one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, Jay Z, hip hop artist.
I mean, I'm into Travis Scott these days.
Okay. Mm. Greatest SNL cast member.
Will Ferrell.
Did Oswald act alone?
No.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
I think so.
Mm. Where?
Me too.
To be continued.
Both.
To be continued.
Okay. Can the kicker be the coolest guy on the team?
How about,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, if he makes the game winner.
Yeah.
It's all.
Most important Jewel song.
It's up to you, Kara.
I can't remember
the
that
answer
song.
Is Foolish Games. Name a movie you've seen at least
That's
seven
correct.
Times.
Seven times?
Yeah.
Glory.
Don't say game film.
Rocky.
Les, this is for you because I respect your hair so much. Preferred hair care product. I look up to you, Les.
Whatever gel I ran out of this morning.
He ran out of it this morning.
I'm getting nervous about tomorrow.
But you know what? Who has better hair in the league other than you? Ryan really? Pace. We were just discussing this while they were taking the GM picture.
Hair rivalry. Pace.
Yeah,
and
hair rivalry.
He won.
Wow.
I can admit
Finally, what does Kara do when she needs a little Kara time?
Oh, that's a great question.
Are you asking me or him? I have a lot of Kara time. I don't know if you guys know. I retired.
What is your
I have way too much Kara time.
What does Les think Kara's Kara time is?
I think, her time, she loves during her time is reading, and she can read a book really. There's about three a day she can read.
That's
so during
the
course of a week, it's 21 books and makes me a lot smarter. So that's probably what she does in her time. That's her time.
All right, hold up
I
your
need
card.
A job.
But not date time.
I need a job. No, that's job. No. It's very true. I mean, that's all I do is read, and that's what we talk about, how the things that I read relate to football.
The answer, though, is – you should be writing that trashy tell-all.
See, but it's not that trashy. It's just got the name to hook you. It's like clickbait. It is just clickbait, and there's really nothing to it, right?
Well, maybe.
I mean, I've seen Les Snead naked is not probably going to be the same.
Seems like
Make
no
sure case. Well, save that for
Super
a drop.
Bowl, and that may change. That can sort of be in parentheses.
Look at him. Look
okay.
At the bubble,
this
the bubble
cut,
over
it's
his
time
head
to go.
Is, the bubble over his head is.
Artist, you've
seriously?
Lost control. Okay? Just
you
so
think
you
there
know.
There was going to be institutional control, Artist Twyman, our PR director at the Rams.
Les Snead, thank you very much. Good luck this season. Kara, you're the best. We love you.
No, you guys are the best.
Thanks,
you.
Guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
What a love fest. What a delightful couple, Greg. It's how everyone wants their marriage to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's a fascinating couple. It's like listening to her talk about like grilling him when he gets home from work is like it's an amazing dynamic. And people, you know, maybe they're listening to this or they're thinking, oh, they're getting a little too close to the Rams, the team of around the NFL. Like they're in the bag for the Rams. Well,
That's
we
true.
Are. Hey. Go shut it. It's a good looking team. It's a good looking
go
couple.
Go shut it.
It's a fun team. They're in our backyard.
And you said
eat it.
You say all right. Calm down. The dynamic. It is fascinating because you have one of the guys at the top of his sport in terms of management for one of the better young teams in the NFL, and his wife is this extremely polished media personality who, it's like you're talking to him. And then you have her like offering almost analysis on his team and she has the best source possible, her husband.
Yeah, and
it's kind of like a funny thing to be in conversation with that type of tandem.
And we were watching, you know, Les Snead provide the answer to Ndamukong and Sue. It was very buttoned up, and I thought, here it is, 35 seconds. It's what I'm going to give everyone else. You'll wait and find out. And then she says, oh, no, let's actually dig into the dinner we had with Sue and all the stuff that happened. And he's just looking at her like, oh,
the same look that we have when our wives do something that we'd rather than not. And be honest, Mark. Be 100% honest.
I'm always honest, or if sometimes.
If someone sent you a free copy of the Tom Brady Naked book, are you taking a look?
Oh, I'd open it. I'd read it. I'd probably read it a second time, pass it on to a friend, then ask for it back.
Read it or just gawk at it? Ya perv.
I mean, I, you know, whatever.
What a great setup Les Snead has. He reads books through osmosis through his wife and works out by osmosis through Sean McVay. He doesn't really have
to do
anything.
He's got to figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know if Les would be in for it, but we should try to set that thing up as a regular segment.
We should try it. Okay, up next is Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons, their head coach, entering his fourth season. And you will notice that we spend a good 30 to 40% complaining about how early in the morning it is, which, yes, speaks to us and that we're, you know, a bit amateur hour ultimately. But, I mean, in our defense, it was early. I, for the first time ever on my way to the set, I was the first person at Starbucks. I waited for the door to open, and I got the first drink. How about that? I didn't think I'd ever be that guy.
It's impressive. It shows. I think it shows that you're not an amateur. You're an absolute professional.
So I have the Atlanta Falcons PR team and Dan Quinn to thank for that momentous occasion in my life. Let's throw it to Mr. Quinn. All right, up next, he is the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, you know who it is. It's Dan Quinn.
Well, I'm pumped to be here with you guys today.
I mean, this is the earliest you're going to hear electronic dance music.
Or the latest.
Right? Or the latest. Full disclosure, by the way, we are recording this at 6:30 in the morning, which, vaguely ungodly. Who was behind this? Who scheduled this?
Well, the scheduling, I gotta say, is a bit of mine, but from my electronic dance music is from my New Jersey background.
Some fist bumping. Were you, if we go back to like season one of the Jersey Shore, will we see a youngish Dan Quinn?
No, I think I've outdated myself for that one. You know, I was pre cell phones, Jersey Shore growing up, but no, living there and growing up, it was a blast. And even in my hometown, you know, like all the youth coaches and, you know, growing up there, like that's kind of where like my love of football began, like watching the Giants and Bill Parcells and like that crew, like. That was a big deal for me, and you know, seeing that group coming up, and like even where I grew up in Morristown, there were so many people, you know, that kind of, you know, helped you and backed you along the way, like youth coaches that you wouldn't know their names, but like had a huge impact, you know, on me early on.
Is it a competition to kind of get that, you know, earliest possible interview? Because I saw Mike McCarthy on the way over here. He looked like he was already two or three interviews deep. He was ahead of you. He was up earlier.
I did see him down here earlier, so I was disappointed that you know, we weren't able to get the earliest slot. But no, it's just it's a cool week this week, and so having this experience and going through the whole thing, including the media this week, it's all part of it. So might as well, you know, kick some of it out early.
This is the first we've done this podcast for 5 years. We've done like 650 episodes. It's the first thing we've ever done before the sun came up. But that's like for us, it's like the biggest deal ever. We've been worried about this for days. But coach's life, this is what it's about, right? All you ever hear about is 5 a.m. I'm on the treadmill, 6 a.m. And this is a normal day for Dan.
We clearly totally lack professionalism that we're making the entire interview about that.
You know what, like, sometimes you need those little windows, and you guys know, like, either whether it's working out or whatever it is, sometimes those little windows of a half hour or 45 minutes where, like, it's just your time, those are big ones, because as a head coach, you know, there's going to be things that come, you know, across your desk. You're like, where did that come from?
Right.
So sometimes those early mornings, you know, they help.
We just talked about the Andy Reid tree before we started here today. Who's someone, if you get into a jam outside of your organization, you got to pick up the phone, call a coach who's been through it. Who's the top of your dial list to help you out?
For me, that would be Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was my time in Seattle that we just really connected. I had a blast coaching with him, but that was, and certainly, you know, through my first year, If there was stuff to come up, he would have been, you know, the guy, and would still be somebody's, hey, man, has this ever come up? Hmm. And, you know, those are the moments, you know.
Is he that willing to help the Falcons?
For him, oddly enough, just the connection for there is deeper. And I'm sure he's one of those guys that a lot of people, you know, feel like they could call. And you know, if, hey, I got this situation, can we talk through it? And I guess the second guy is Mike Tomlin. He's somebody that he and I have been connected for a long time. My first year coaching was Mike's senior year of playing. And then after that year, we coached together the next season. So we've been friends for, you know, 20, you know, plus years, and just a really cool guy.
I like the idea of, like, the dark side of Pete Carroll, who's this personable, upbeat guy. But you call him after taking the Seahawks job, and he's like, lose this number, you're now the enemy.
Yeah, he wasn't that way. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was pretty cool about that, and, you know, certainly wasn't that way. Guys who you have long time, you know, connections with, you know, it's past, you know, one game now, that the week we're playing now, like, yeah, we ain't calling each other that week. So
right.
It just happens like this time of year. Or, we don't share draft stuff or evaluations on players, but, you know, getting back to, if you had, you know, something to come up, he'd be the guy, him and Mike Tomlin.
You mentioned being a Giants fan growing up, and when I think of those teams, the first thing is defense. You started out 2016, the best offense maybe in history, in modern history, just putting up crazy points. But then last year, by the end of the year, you're a defense team. You're one of the fastest defenses in the league. Is that sort of the blueprint? You want to be a defense team?
We just want to be a really good team, and that's really where it comes down to. We don't want to be known, hey, this is just an offensive club or a defensive club, but just one that really puts out, kicks ass, battles for one another. And so we did add a number of guys defensively. So now I've always felt there can be like a big jump from a player from year one to year two to year three. And we just so happened that we had a number of guys on the defensive side that were probably in years three or four and under. And so that connection, that plan, there was definitely some on-the-job training for some of them in 15 and 16. So now as 17 was coming through, they were ready to flip and, you know, be the one that was the hammer instead of the nail, so to speak. So we're looking forward to a number of these guys making another jump again.
Wes mentioned the offense and how incredible it was in 2016, 2017. Steve Sarkisian replaces Kyle Shanahan, and offense not quite as explosive. My fantasy team, I waited for Matt Ryan to have statistical games like we had in 2016.
You're not the first one to hear about this fantasy team, so don't worry.
I was really upset about Matt Ryan's fantasy season last year. But my point is, there was criticism around the offense. Was it always to you, it was going to take time to get maybe back to where you were in 2016?
Well, I never, you know, had expectations. Okay, we can surpass what we were. The things that I was pleased with, we were better on third down. You know, the things that we weren't was scoring. And we've always had really good balance. That's really important to me. The run game, the play action, the keepers that goes with it. I would say probably the biggest disappointment we had was our turnover margin. One of the reasons I like that as a stat, it's a team stat. It's not just, you know, the offense turning the ball over, but it's also that to get in the plus in a turnover margin, you've got to create takeaways. So we've had a number of good explosive plays, but our scoring was down. And as you go through the offseason to audit, you know, okay, what do we need to tweak, so to speak, as we're going through it? And that was a good part and fun part of this offseason. But we've got some really explosive guys, you know, certainly led by Matt. He is a real competitor. The guy's a straight wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, like he loves to battle, loves to fight. So,
We hear on the parabolic mic sometimes that Matt Ryan is an intense competitor on the field.
Will he be motivated by dance? Something too.
I didn't know there was a mic. What's it called?
Parabolic mic?
Yeah, that is new for me too. Yeah, if that mic really said everything, it would be definitely a show.
And tell him that it's cool. Me and him, they're cool. We're cool. It's just, it was just a tough
season.
Would that
be a motivator to find out that the Dan's fantasy results were not up to par?
I'll bring it up. Okay. You know, we'll see where it goes.
Fire in the belly, man.
Is it possible to overpay for a franchise quarterback in the NFL?
It would seem like, you know, at that spot, it's almost like a whole nother, you know, cap is needed, you know, for quarterbacks, because they're so unique in what they do. And when you have one, you know how fortunate you are. And so for us to have a guy like Matt, who not only is a really good player, but like what a kick-ass competitor, the right guy in the locker room. So we're fortunate that he's right in the middle of it. And, you know, the league, you know, in terms of the structure, the way the cap's set up, to have, you know, opportunities not only to have him, but guys, you know, to bring along with them. I think they got it set up in the right way.
You're known, you know, for somewhat your hip-hop playlist before the game, which is almost, it's a little condescending. It's like, wow, hey, a head coach actually knows hip-hop. It's like, you know, this music isn't necessarily all that new. It's like Tupac and Biggie. You put yeah. a lot. But what does
yeah,
it
you're
mean?
You're definitely putting my age into it now. You know my wheelhouse of where I'm at.
But do you kind of, you reside kind of in the epicenter right now of hip-hop yeah. in America. So, like, is that important to you? Are you like Migos or Gucci Mane? You're going
and,
out?
We do. And it was really cool, like, even, you know, with the Super Bowl being in Atlanta this year, I think it was Bruno Mars who had said, you know, I hope they do something, you know, regarding, you know, all the artists that are from Atlanta. And not just hip-hop, you know, but, like, Zac Brown is a huge Falcons fan. So, like, you know, like, where we're at, like, obviously the hip-hop world is big. And, like, it's really cool how it started in Atlanta, you know, like, from the club scene to how the music's, you know, come through. So it is pretty cool. Like, living in Atlanta is a cool spot. Like, football in our state is really important. And so high school ball, college ball, pro ball, and then the music scene there. It's a pretty lit space, you like, know, to live. It's cool.
Like, Mike Vick got a cameo in Atlanta. I feel like you could work true. On that.
You know what? I wish I'd had it, you know, just a little shot at something. You know, that
well, cool. Mangini was in The Sopranos. Why you know can't what? You be
yeah,
on
there we go.
That's a good, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Mangenius,
I don't know, somebody's
as Tony
in trouble.
Said.
Right.
All right, before we let you go, Dan, it is time for our speed round. It's called 8 O'Clock Delight. Are you ready? It's a little early. Let's call it 6:30 Delight. You ready?
I'm down with it.
Go. Name a movie you've seen at least 7 times.
Forrest Gump.
What does Dan Quinn get up to when it's time for a little me time?
I'd have to say Tupac.
Least enjoyable pay your dues task as a young coach in the league.
I would say it wasn't in the league, but my second year coaching, I was at Virginia Military Institute. And back then, you had to bring the film to the airport. So driving from Lexington, Virginia, the Roanoke Airport, and sometimes at like 4:30 a.m., we'd go. And I remember telling my wife, Stacey, at the time, like, someday we're going to look back at this and remember and, where we didn't have to go to the Roanoke Airport. And, you know.
Yeah, now here you are with us. Yeah. We can look back.
I would have to say, it might not have been the NFL part, but that was certainly one.
Best stadium in the NFL besides your own?
Besides Mercedes-Benz, for me it's always been fun, you know, going back home, you know, up in New Jersey, you know, so I would have to say, because of family and friends, and for me, you know, growing up in New Jersey, and that's kind of like where my love of football began, so I have to say, from a nostalgia standpoint, I'd like
to the Meadowlands. Speaking of the Meadowlands, best Springsteen song?
That's a cool one. I saw him for the first time last year, and the amount of juice that he brings, I was blown away. Like, this is like lit from like the time one show, the one song ends to the next one, like 1, 2, 3, and right back to it again. So
no filibustering though. What is the best Springsteen song?
Well, you're also gonna date me back to like, which is the best video? I mean, Thunder Road,
classic.
There you go.
There you go. Can't argue with that. Dan Quinn, you've survived the crucible that is 6:30 Delight.
Well, the 6:30 Delight, let's see if somebody can top it. But, yeah, really cool to be on with you guys.
Right. Thanks, Dan.
Best of luck to you in 2018.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Thunder Road is an excellent Bruce Springsteen song. The definitive Springsteen song is Born to Run, obviously. I would go West, and I know you're a Springsteen fan as well, as most white male sports writers are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. But Jungle Road would probably be my favorite Bruce song.
Jungle Road is in the top 10, I think, of any great Springsteen file. You gotta have Jungle Road in there.
Do you have a lot of more road songs? Or is it just Jungle and Thunder?
A lot of road, bro. He wrote about cars a lot. He sung his cars.
Racing in the streets.
Cars and girls and factories closing. That basically makes up about 94%. Any other takeaways from Dan Quinn?
Wes and I, when we covered the Seahawks 2 years in a row in the Super Bowl, really fell for Dan Quinn. I mean, anyone that listened to those podcasts back then probably found us quite annoying in how much we liked Dan Quinn. But we promised to have beers with him or wanted to. That did not happen during this interview. But
I didn't hear you guys even ask.
We didn't even ask. It was 6:30 in the morning. I was not really in the mood for a beer, to be honest with you. But he was a delightful conversationalist.
Well, you can see when just his energy, and I think this is true of the media believes this, other coaches believe this, just like they like being around Dan Quinn because of his energy. You can see when he gets into an interview, for instance, with the Falcons, that you're like, I just got to give my team to this guy.
I did want to ask him, because, you know, these things go by quick, but he was a He was a record-setting hammer thrower at the collegiate level.
He looks like it.
I just wanted to know if that skill set still paid off in any way.
Bit of a missed opportunity now that he's out of the room.
Well, these interviews, you know, suddenly it's like, bang, we're out. He's leaving. So, you know.
All right, moving on. So thank you to Dan for joining us. A Super Bowl winning coach for the Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh. We had a lot to talk about with John, who the only guy that rolled in no entourage at all, which I thought was kind of a
super confident in just coming in on his own, not scared of us.
Yeah. Sans entourage.
Yeah, I like that.
Well done.
Sure, sure. Why not? Let's throw it to John Harbaugh. All right, now just got serious in room 105, suite 105, because we have a Super Bowl winning head coach. He is John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens. This is his introduction music. John requested it.
Ho! Is that like a drum roll? What is that?
Nice little EDM hit.
Yeah, a little electronic music, a little dance music here.
In your younger years, pre-family, did you ever have like a club period? Were you like hitting the clubs?
No, we were never allowed in clubs. The Harbaughs, it seems like we got banned from everything. Everywhere we were ever at.
Is it all Jim's fault?
Of course. He ran out of friends, you know. No, you can come, but don't bring your brother.
You're a veteran at these owners meetings. You kind of had the strategy that you came in as late as possible. Is that because you've done so many at this point?
Probably, yeah. Come late, leave early, and you know, and keep a low profile. Don't be seen. How'd you guys find me?
We have our sources.
We have the tentacles with the shield on our side. That's how we track down John. I mean, it's an interesting time for the Baltimore Ravens, right? I mean, the, 3 years without the playoffs, we've gotten used to the Ravens always being in the mix. And is there in the organization and for you just like a sense of pressure as we head into 2018 to end that dry spell?
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't. I mean, you want to make the playoffs. We want to be relevant. You know, we're not too happy with the fact that we're not in there, you know, and I thought we were in there last year, you know, and obviously you get your heart broken. This is a great thing about the NFL, about sports. It's drama, you know, and you never know what's going to happen next and any crazy thing can happen. And I think that's why it's, you know, people watch it. But, you know, it can be the incredible happy joy high. I was at the Super Bowl. I was rooting for the Eagles. You know, I'd coached there for 10 years and pretty much know everybody in the organization. And man, I felt like I was as happy as they were. You know, you get that, not quite, yeah. But not as quite as happy as I was in 2012, but happy, you know. And then you have, you know, like us, and we fought our way and clawed our way back into the thing this year, and then we got knocked out right at the end.
So. And you're referring to the Week 17 loss to Cincinnati, and is it extra annoying, obviously a painful loss, but then, and not that the Bills are doing anything wrong, but then that becoming the big news story that the next couple of days, them celebrating after the Andy Dalton touchdown, that probably was unnecessary at that point.
Well, it probably would have been if I'd have watched it or paid attention to it, but I made a point not to. You know, I kind of shuttered, you know, closed the doors, pulled the blinds down, and didn't read it or listen to anything for a while.
You mentioned
haven't seen any of their celebrations yet. Did they celebrate?
They were happy. They deserved it. You know, the city deserved it.
I didn't notice.
You mentioned you were in Philadelphia and you were enjoying that game, you know, considering your time with Andy Reid. We talked to, you know, Andy earlier. Like, what kind of influence, even just seeing, like, that Eagles win, do you think he sort of had a part in that Eagles win and just the influence kind of that he's had throughout the league?
The Godfather.
I do. Yeah, he is. And, yeah, I do feel that way. I mean, I feel like – I kind of feel like the Eagles are kind of back to their roots now, you know. Andy's first year, you know, Doug was the backup quarterback. He was my holder. And, you know, all the coaches that were there. And I think I just feel like, you know, with Jeffrey and Howie's been there forever. And I just feel like it's kind of the way the Eagles are supposed to be. And to see them have that success and to have it kind of flow back around through Andy is very appropriate for you guys to notice that. I mean, all of us who are part of that, I know we feel that way, you know. So you feel like, you know, you want to have a little stake in it probably. Maybe they don't feel that way. But I think they do. I think that it really, if you're honest about it, it goes back to Jeffrey. I mean, Jeff Lurie is the owner. He's the leader, and he's built that, you know, and it's pretty awesome to see it all come together for him this year.
Something I've always wanted to ask you, because we were at the Super Bowl, you won, incredible game, but when the lights went out, well, yes, it was my job, as his, but when the lights went out, what was the first thing that went through your mind? I remember my wife was down in the stands, and I'm thinking, what on earth is happening in this building? Did you have more knowledge that could happen? I mean,
Well, I heard the story. I heard the story the next morning that they talked about some switching station outside the stadium. Right. You know, I was a little skeptical.
Your boy Ray Lewis, he's on record saying it's a conspiracy designed to let San Francisco get back in that game.
I my first thought was like maybe it was like some kind of attack, you know. Mm-hmm. That's your first thought, you know. And I don't know that I thought of that. Someone might have said that to me, you know, and I'm like, oh man, you know, we're kind of exposed out here.
Yeah.
But you really, in just being straight up, you really, it's just kind of like another thing, another obstacle. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. What the heck's going on? This has never happened before. This is ridiculous. It's not really what you think about. What you really think about in that as a head coach is how are we going to deal with this, you know? How are we going to have our guys ready? Unfortunately, we didn't do a very good job, you know, because we were up 28-6 and they came roaring back. You know, they got their guys more ready, you know. I was over there on the sideline, and toward the end of the whole deal, they were trying to tell me that my coaches weren't going to be able to go back up to the press box or something. You know, I'm like, well, you know, it's like, I'm going to tell you how it's going to go here. You know, we're going to play when we're ready to play, and it's not going to be before our coaches in the press box. And there's nothing you're going to do about it. We can do, you know, throw the flag. You're going to call the game? I don't think so, you know.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, I got to yell to the one guy, Mike Kensel, by the way, he was becoming a local legend in New York City, right? Everybody knows him. He says when he goes to the 7-Eleven. So we laugh about it a lot now, but it was crazy. Then I look out there and I see my brothers in the huddle with Cap calling the play. You know, it's like, I don't think he's allowed to be out there on the field right now, you know. It doesn't surprise me that he's out there, but it's just pretty cool the way the whole thing, you look back on it now, and I think even Jim feels that way, you know. It was a pretty amazing deal.
Well, did you ever get like a, you know, one of the guys that came back, that helped the 49ers come back in the game, Michael Crabtree, now playing for you, like what kind of like special intel do you get from your brother when you're possibly signing, you know, one of his guys?
Oh, he told me to sign him, man. He loved him. Yeah, I talked to Jim about him. He's like Crab is a man. You know, he's tough. He's rough. He's hard-nosed. You know, you want this guy on your team. He loves Crab.
He once claimed that Crabtree has the best hands ever.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for it, man. We need guys that can catch. I mean, you know, that's last time I checked. Isn't that the main, like, trait of a wide receiver?
That would be. Yeah. That would be behind the list.
Catch the ball well.
You are steeped in special teams knowledge, so you can speak with authority on this subject. Has anyone ever had a better 2-year kicking window than Justin Tucker?
Nobody ever has. You know, the funny thing about Justin, it's not just the stats. And, you know, I had a great kicker, Andy, David Akers, okay? So one time I thought David Akers was a machine, and he was. And Tuck, and Ake comes to our training camp, and he actually works with Tuck sometimes, and he's amazed by Tuck, you know. It's not just the fact that he makes every kick. He makes every kick in practice, you know, and we just like the rare time he misses. It's like we just love it because he's such a good guy and he's an outgoing guy, but he's such a perfectionist, like singing and everything else.
Right.
He's perfect at everything. This guy does nothing wrong. Hmm. He's perfect. And you can ask him about that. He'll probably tell that to you too.
Yeah, he's got some swag for a kicker as well. He's
perfectly humble.
He's a totally major confident guy. So when he does miss in practice, led by Terrell Suggs, you know, there's a chorus of, we just all really appreciate the fact that he's not actually perfect at everything.
Right.
Dan is always making the case there is no one in the league he would trade Justin Tucker for. That is Dan's number one guy.
It's points.
I'm like the biggest Justin Tucker fan in America. Well, you're probably ahead of me. But
true, but my daughter, man, I tell you, all the Baltimore girl fans, you know, the teenage girls, it's probably even bigger than you and I.
Man, Justin Tucker figured it out.
There you go. He's got it done.
He did it. He's the kicker who did it.
One thing I wanted to ask you is that you're one of those coaches I feel like has a lot to say at these owner meetings, that you speak up. Like there's a, you know, the rules are being talked about, and I feel like you have opinions, you have feelings on those rules, and you let them know.
Well, they spoke to me about that, so I've.
Oh, really?
That's why
I think I've been muzzled.
Late and leaving early.
That's right.
All right. So this is the part of the interview I call the Crucible. It's the speed round. It's called 8 o'clock delight. Are you ready?
I'm so bad at this stuff.
I know. Well, it won't be too painful, or maybe it will. Let's hit it. Netflix and chill, or dinner and a movie?
Netflix and chill. Love Netflix.
Favorite hip hop artist?
I don't know any.
Okay. Best Seagal movie?
I've never seen any.
How dare you? Hot tub. hot tub, relaxing bliss, or cesspools of filth?
Cesspools of filth, actually.
I think that's true.
Greatest SNL cast member of all time?
John Belushi.
What's one thing most people don't know about your quarterback?
He's really opinionated. Do you believe that? It's true.
If you say so, I believe it.
Speaking of rules and stuff, did they fix the catch rule, this proposed change?
They did. It's not perfect, but it never can be.
Is this the new muzzled Harbaugh?
I hate it. Did Oswald act alone?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No, I don't believe in ghosts.
You know, Sessler is a major Oswald conspiracy guy.
You and Michael Lombardi.
I'm also a Browns fan, so.
Yeah. You and Michael Lombardi. I'm worried about the grassy knoll just a little bit. There might have been something over there on the grassy knoll.
I'm with you on the grassy knoll side.
Yeah. The Greatest Generation, accurate nickname or needlessly braggy?
Accurate nickname.
Is there intelligent life beyond this planet?
Yeah, it's spiritual, though.
Best Tom Petty song?
I Won't Back Down.
Ooh, that's very good. Can the coolest guy on the team be a kicker?
It's proven.
Adam Gase said no with authority on that one.
He doesn't have Tucker.
Exactly. John Harbaugh, best of luck to you in the 2018 season. We will be watching.
Yep. Thanks, guys. You guys are great.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, John.
There you go. John Harbaugh. And I like the idea that Justin Tucker is just a guy that everybody wants to see fail. Because he's perfect, which isn't a surprise to me. My goal one day is that the Ravens go an entire season and only Justin Tucker scores. That's my goal.
They got closer to that goal last year. I feel like they're
seems achievable.
It's almost happening.
And that might be why they end up drafting a quarterback in this draft. But we shall see. Any other takeaways from Mr. Harbaugh?
I had promised at one point to gift Wesleyan a train system from L.A. to Tybee Island called the Mouser, and to fund it, we would melt down the Baltimore Ravens to pay for it. I have to say, I still like the idea, but it was a little tougher to comprehend after hanging out with John Harbaugh because, you know, another signal that we are very easily impressionable. I started to like him and feel a little less angst towards the Ravens coming out of it.
Between that and you forgiving Art Modell, it's been an off
season. I'm halfway to Baltimore.
It's been an off season of healing for Mark and the Ravens.
And you know why it is? Because Mark thinks the Browns are on the right path. He won't say it, but he feels like things are going better for the Brownies, and he could start letting go.
This is ultra projection. I don't feel any of these.
Well, there's only one direction they can go.
Is that a 0-16 dig?
Yeah. 1-30, 1-31, however you want to take it.
1-31, 0-16, take your pick.
1-47.
If you, that's true too. How deep?
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
If you are an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or even if you have a side gig, let me introduce you to Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Grasshopper lets you run your business from your cell phone while keeping your business and personal life separate. Choose from their huge
warehouses,
almost inventory of local toll-free or vanity toll-free numbers. Simply forward your new number to your mobile phone and start taking calls immediately. Whether you are in an office, in your car, or out running errands, Grasshopper's iPhone and Android apps help you stay connected to your customers. It's great. I mean, come on, bro. You can also send and receive calls and texts from your business phone number. Set up multiple extensions for everyone on your team. Get your voicemails transcribed and emailed to you. Oh, my goodness. What a party. Better yet, Grasshopper offers an easy and instant setup and 24/7 customer support, all without any long-term contracts. Grasshopper. Sign up today. Go to grasshopper.com/around to get $20 off your first month. That's grasshopper.com/around. All right. That's it for Tuesday.
Do you have a hard time keeping track of all the nonsensical voice bits that you have?
Obviously not. It's all up there somewhere. I think all the like shittiness and math has paid off with like opening up RAM space for bits and other types of voices.
I think Bully Grasshopper is one of my favorite bits now. Whatever that guy was. Yeah, he's just sort of like a bullyish grasshopper.
It's like, what are you walking around, you little ant, you little spider? I'm a grasshopper.
You can't jump like me, bro. Oh, my God. We got to get out of here. Next time you hear from us, we'll be back in the studio in Culver City, God willing. But we will also have more great content that we collected here. We're going to hear from Tony Khan of the Jaguars, and of course, Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs, who was a real peach, Andy Reid. It was great talking to him, the godfather. So that's coming up Thursday. Thank you for listening. And now it's time, Mark and Wes, especially Wes and Greg, let's get a little shut-eye.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll get a little shut-eye.
Time to go.
Time for a rest. Or maybe get by the pool. Take that shirt off, Mark. Stan Hansis, signing off for the Quiet Storm. the old boss, the mailman, and Lindsay Fulton on the table. Till Thursday.
Take your shirt off.
Yeah, usually wait till the show's over.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.